Good morning. It is Tuesday, June 3rd, 2025, and the time is 9:38 a.m. This is the Northwest Seaport Alliance co-chair, John McCarthy. Present today from the Port of Tacoma are Commissioner Zhang, Keller, Marzano, and Meyer. Also present virtually are Commissioners Fellman, Hasegawa, and Mohammed. And we are anticipating Commissioners Cho and Calkins to join us. We're now going to recess to executive session, which is allowed under the revised Code of Washington, RCW 42.30.110, to review the performance of a public employee, and also under the same statute to discuss with legal counsel representing the Northwest Seaport Alliance litigation or potential litigation to which the alliance, the governing body, or a member acting in an official capacity is or is likely to become a party. When public knowledge regarding the discussion is likely to result in an adverse legal or financial consequence to the agency, we will reconvene in public session at 10:30 a.m. Okay, good morning. It's Tuesday, June 3rd, 2025, and the time is now 9:43 a.m. I am the Northwest Seaport Alliance co-chair, John McCarthy. Also present for today's meeting are Commissioners Eng, Keller, Marzano, and Meyer, and also present by virtual meeting are Commissioners, Commissioner Co-Chair Hasegawa, Commissioners Calkins, and Commissioner Mohammed. Commissioner Cho and Commissioner Fellman, I see, is also present as well. I believe Commissioner Cho is absent and excused from the meeting. Is that correct?
Correct. Commissioner Cho is not with us virtually.
Great. Thank you. I will say, start by saying we started in an executive session at 9:38 this morning, and we were at that session. We were joined by all 10 commissioners, where we discussed two items that were allowed under state law. At this point in time, please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to
the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all.
The next item on the agenda is a report by the Chief Executive Officer, John Wolfe.
Thank you, Co-Chair McCarthy, and public welcome to the June meeting of the Northwest Seaport Alliance. We have a light agenda here today. We have two items on the action agenda. The first is item A, it's CEO evaluation, and followed by item B, which is Terminal 5 substation relay replacement project authorization. Following that, we have a couple of briefings for you, first of which is a cargo update, and followed by a discussion on harbor maintenance tax and funding of projects. So again, a light agenda, and with that, I will turn it back to Co-Chair McCarthy.
Thank you. Now on the agenda is the opportunity to hear public comments. Comments are welcome on general alliance business or specific agenda items. I see no one has signed in the sign-in sheet, but is there any member of the public or anyone present that would like to comment at this time? I'm not seeing no rush to move forward to the microphone, therefore no written comments have been received. Public comment is concluded. The next item on the agenda is work group and committee reports. The first work group or committee report is the Audit Committee, and I'll call on Commissioner Keller for that.
Thank you, Co-Chair. Since the last managing member meeting, audit committee members and staff have been in communication on the best approach in auditing the Terminal 5 modernization program cost overruns and delays. The committee believes that an executive review panel, independent of the alliance or either home port, focusing on process improvements for future large-scale capital projects on alliance-licensed properties, considering both the Port of Seattle structure and the Port of Tacoma structure, is the best way forward. Staff have now been asked to outline a scope for the review and identify those that should be involved. We've asked that they bring that information to the committee to consider so that the committee can bring a formal recommendation to the managing members at the July or August meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Any members have any questions for the audit committee? There being none, I will then call on the environmental work group. Commissioner Ng.
Thank you. On May 29th, Commissioner Cho, Fellman, and I were in attendance, and Commissioner McCarthy was excused. The working group meeting focused on issues related to the U.S.-Korea Green Shipping Corridors project. The group received an update on the multi-port memorandum of understanding that is under development to strengthen coordination and collaboration across the Korean ports of Ulsan and Busan and the U.S. Pacific Northwest ports of Seattle, Tacoma, and the Northwest Seaport Alliance. The three members reached consensus on the final wording for the document, but not on the question of who should sign on behalf of the Seaport Alliance. Commissioner Cho and I expressed support for port CEOs to sign the MOU to stay aligned with who will sign on behalf of the Korean ports. Staff believe that Commissioner McCarthy preferred that the document be signed by the co-chairs. The Environmental Working Group member suggested that the issue be decided by the co-chairs. The working group also discussed the best timing for a key visit by a Korean delegation to the Seattle-Tacoma Gateway for an MOU signing ceremony and other meetings. Early September does not work for Commissioner Cho's schedule. The next choice was late August if the delegation visit can be planned around a scheduled trip to Eastern Washington by our commissioners and senior executives. If not, the visit will be pushed back to October, November. Commissioners also received a draft itinerary for the Korean delegation visit and offered several suggestions, including adding habitat restoration site tours in both harbors, which our Korean partners had a high interest in.
Thank you. Are there any questions for environmental work group committee members? Seeing no hands, we will move on to the consent agenda. Items on consent are generally considered routine and non-controversial. Today's consent agenda includes item 8A, which is approval of the May 6, 2025 minutes, and 8B, which is approval of disbursements totaling $9,887,078.57 on checks 1105 through 1254. And electronic payments issued during the period of April 29, 2025 through May 21, 2025 as certified by the Alliance Auditor. Are there any requests from Commission members to pull items from consent? Hearing none, are there any objections to adopting the consent agenda as presented? I'm hearing no objections and I'm seeing no hands being raised. The consent agenda is adopted by unanimous consent. We will now consider items on our regular action agenda. Our first item is the review of our CEO, John Wolfe. And I'll start out by saying that the managing members, the 10 commissioners, have had an opportunity to perform an evaluation of our CEO. Over a period of about three different executive sessions, which is allowed by law, and had an opportunity to review his performance and also review information relative to comparable salaries. And based on that discussion, I would request that managing members, and I would ask that a motion be made by the managing members to authorize per the terms of the CEO's employment agreement, a salary of $430,000, effective April 1, 2025. Will someone make such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
The motion's been made by Commissioner Ang and seconded by Commissioner Keller. Are there any comments or questions? Commissioner
Meyer. I just wanted to express.
We'll get you next, Commissioner Fallman. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm just concerned about the effective date passing legal muster, because having had some, having had an audit exception on this particular item going back in a retroactive basis for a CEO compensation, I just want to make certain that that's legal.
Good question, Commissioner. For the record, Dana Henderson, General Counsel for the Seaport Alliance. In advance of today's meeting, we reviewed the CEO's contract, which does have a provision in it that says, regardless of when the managing members complete his review, any compensation adjustment is as of the April 1 anniversary date. So I think, because that's part of the contractual consideration for his employment, I think it's allowable.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that clarification.
Yeah, of course.
I appreciate
thank
that.
You.
Commissioner Fallman.
I just wanted to express my gratitude for all of the work that John has done on behalf of the Alliance since its inception, and that acknowledging the fact that twice he has chose not to take a raise, that this, I believe, is really appropriate compensation. And I appreciate the fact that the managing members at large all agree. And just a big heartfelt thank you for navigating through some really challenging times, whether it be the pandemic or now the tariffs. Your steady hand on the tiller has been greatly appreciated.
Thank you. Co-Chair Hasegawa.
Thank you. I'll keep this brief because of connectivity challenges. I just wanted to express my deepest gratitude to CEO Wolf for his leadership and how highly everyone has spoken about him in executive session and deliberations, and in talking with the stakeholder, it's not easy, everything that you're carrying and trying to balance, but our position as the Alliance has only grown with time, and so we hope that this is a recognition of our gratitude and in you and our bit of confidence in your leadership.
Thank you. Commissioner Ang?
Sure. I did also want to commend CEO Wolf on an excellent job in 2024 and in 2025. I think you're doing very well now as well. That we saw over a 10% increase in our cargo volumes that was delivered, as well as taking a look at our performance metrics, building for the future with our port community system. I also did want to commend that he did a very good job during probably one of the roughest waters to navigate during COVID and likely also now. So I think when we think about compensation, we have to take into account the challenges that our CEO and team and all of us have to face as a port of a Pacific Northwest in this global landscape. So with that, I do just want to congratulate John for an excellent job.
Thank you. Commissioner Keller.
You had your hand.
Thank you. Yes. We really appreciate you, CEO Wolf, for a lot of different reasons. Myself, you're a relationship builder. You've made gains in a discretionary gateway for distributable cash and cargo volumes in a very volatile market. And today is no exception to that, too. We still are, trying to manage through this, but you're doing a great job with it, with your steady hand on the helm. Your strategies are data-driven. I really appreciate that. I know with Professor Morrison helping out with that. And that's a great example of how you utilize your staff and lean into the expertise of your staff. And we also really, as commissioners, admire you putting us out in the limelight at business meetings and making sure that we're there discussing business strategies with our customers as well. I know it's been greatly appreciated by all of us. So thank you for all that you do. You're greatly appreciated.
Commissioner Marzano.
Yeah, thank you. John, I want to thank you for all the work that you've done in the past and going forward. The respect you command in the industry is well reflected anytime we go anyplace. I think you're beyond compareness to all the other leaders that we presently have, and I think a demonstration of that is strictly in the people that you have hired and surround you. You've got a great team, and it's reflected upon your leadership. And it's well-deserving that you have, like Commissioner Feldman talked about, a couple of times during the past time with us, you've chosen not to receive a pay raise. I think this is reflective of what we're trying to do right now is to get you up where you belong with your peers, and I'm just glad you're still with us.
Thank you. I'm not seeing any further hands. Let me just say ditto. Commissioner Hasegawa and I will be preparing and signing a letter reflecting the excellent work that you've done on behalf of the Northwest Seaboard Alliance. Mr. Wolf, CEO Wolf.
Well, thank you. Just wanted to say a couple of things. First of all, how grateful I am to serve in this capacity for a great enterprise, the Northwest Seaboard Alliance. I'm super grateful for the commissioners, all 10 of you, and your leadership, how you hold yourself and represent the Seaboard Alliance in the public arena with our customers, our key stakeholders, the public. I'm unbelievably grateful to our staff. I will say that our team will compete with anyone. And I just feel so blessed to have such a talented group of folks that I get to work beside, learn from, and support. And we've got work to do, as we all know. There's a challenging time we're faced with today, and we'll get through it. We've got to work on getting more cargo to this gateway, and know that our team is on it. And I look forward to serving in this capacity this year and the years beyond that. So again, I'm just really grateful and thankful for this opportunity.
Thank you. I do see Commissioner Mohammed. You have your hand up, as well as Commissioner Feldman. So, Commissioner Mohammed.
Thank you. I was having some tech issues for a second. I just also wanted to echo the sentiments of my colleagues. CEO Wolf, I also wanted to say thank you for your steady leadership and unwavering commitment to the success of our harbors. And also wanted to also echo what I heard from my colleagues. It says a lot about your leadership to decline salary increases during the height of the 2020 pandemic. Really speaks volumes about your character, your selflessness, approach to leadership, and just want to thank you for all the work, all the experience you bring to the Alliance, and how you consistently help us navigate economic challenges, global supply challenges and disruptions, while always being focused on how to keep this region globally competitive. And so just wanted to say thank you.
Commissioner Feldman.
Yes, thank you. I am calling in from Berlin on port business, and I stayed on the line to be able to hear from all of us and to express our appreciation for you, John. But I will be dropping off now that we have settled this matter of business and we still have a quorum. So just thank you again, and it's 8 o'clock at night, so I've got to roll. Thank you.
Commissioner Feldman, wait till you vote, please. Okay.
Oh, all right. Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
I did take it till this long, right?
Okay.
I
should say, right? Since we do have four commissioners virtually, I would like the clerk to call the roll, please, if you don't mind.
Commissioner Marzano?
Aye.
Commissioner Meyer?
Aye.
Commissioner Keller?
Aye.
Commissioner Eng?
Aye.
Commissioner Milholland?
Aye.
Commissioner Feldman?
Aye.
Commissioner Calkins?
Aye.
Commissioner Hasegawa?
Aye.
And Commissioner McCarthy?
Aye. The motion passes unanimously, 9-0. Congratulations. Thank you. We'll move on in the agenda to the next item. So, John, or
Yeah, happy to introduce the next item. Item 9B on the action agenda is a consideration of Terminal 5 Substation Relay Replacement Project Authorization. And we have our own Aaron Light, our real estate manager of the Northwest Seaport Alliance. Welcome, Aaron. And also Brandon Klepp from the Port of Seattle Capital Project Management Team. Welcome, Brandon.
Great, thank you. Good morning. I'm here just to give a quick introduction to this presentation. Aaron Light, Senior Real Estate Manager with the Alliance. During the course of work completed at T5, it was discovered that the protective relays in the primary substation that provide electrical services to the site are obsolete. It is recommended, therefore, that these relays be replaced along with completing some routine testing clean to the existing equipment. Under our long-term lease with SSA at T5, it states that all maintenance and repairs, restorations, and renewals of this primary substation are the responsibility of the NWSA. So with that in mind, real estate is recommending that we move forward with this work and the managing members approve this project. So with that, I'll pass it on to Brandon.
Thank you, Aaron. Good morning, commissioners. My name is Brandon Klett. I'm a capital project manager with the Port of Seattle. I'm here today to talk to you about the Terminal 5 Substation Relay Replacement Project. The action being requested, we request that the managing members grant project authorization in the amount of $550,000 for a total authorized amount of $600,000 for work associated with the T5 Relay Replacement Project, Project ID N99988. We are talking about Terminal 5 in the North Harbor. I have included here overhead shots just to give some context to the location. This substation is behind the admin building at Terminal 5. There are two substations at that location. The one on the right hand in this picture, the smaller one, is the substation in scope in this project. This substation predates the modernization project. It is the main substation and powers the majority of the terminal, excluding the shore power and crane power. And the other substation on the left was installed during the modernization project. That provides the crane power and shore power to Terminal 5, and it is not in scope for this effort. These are just images of the substation for context, one of the exterior, and then on the right is the interior showing the breakers and relay locations that this would be focusing on. Background of this effort, the substation is approximately 30 years old. It was installed in 1996. It serves as the primary substation for Terminal 5 and powers the majority of the terminal, excluding crane power, shore power, and the longshoremen break buildings. The existing relays are analog and will be replaced with current digital models. The relays safeguard the equipment in case of an outage. This was a recommendation that was given to us by the electrical contractor conducting the work during the Terminal 5 modernization project. Port of Seattle engineering team has evaluated this, they agree with this recommendation, and the NWSA has agreed as well. And then during a previous inspection of the substation, the contractor that Port of Seattle had contracted with recommended that we complete testing and cleaning of the existing electrical equipment prior to proceeding with the relay replacement project. The engineering team at the Port of Seattle agreed with this assessment due to the age of the equipment, finding it to be a necessary step in the process. Project descriptions and details. The primary objective of this project will be to upgrade all analog relays. This will in turn extend the service life of the substation. And then the final objective is to test and clean the existing equipment in that effort towards the analog relay upgrade. The scope includes replacement with digital models. The test and clean measures will include testing and inspection of all electrical equipment, including switchgears, transformers, circuit breakers, current transformers, and metering devices. The contractor will be providing temporary grounding during the effort to ensure safety is a priority. And then finally, we have allocated funds to provide necessary temporary power both in generator and fuel costs to power the terminal, as this work will require an outage and we do not want to impact operations. The project schedule, following approval, we would issue a work order to an existing electrical open order contract the Port of Seattle has in July of 2025. We would anticipate substantial completion of the effort to take place in 2026, and then project closeout to come in April of 2026. The source of funding, so the 2025 to 2029 capital investment plan budget allocated $661,000 for this project. This amount will be revised to reflect the current authorization request. Financial summary, we estimated a total of $50,000 in pre-design funding and $550,000 in construction funding. We've used $14,000 to date, bringing our total remaining cost to $586,000 of the $600,000 request. And then once more, the action being requested is for the managing members to grant project authorization in the amount of $550,000 for a total authorization amount of $600,000 for work associated with the T5 relay replacement project. Project ID N99988.
Thank you. At this time, I would call for a motion to grant the project authorization in the amount of $550,000 for a total authorized amount of $600,000 for work associated with the Terminal 5 substation relay replacement project. Do I have such a motion?
So moved. Second.
It's been moved by Commissioner Meyer and seconded by Commissioner Rosano. Questions or comments from the commissioners? Commissioner Keller.
Thank you. I just have, I'm just curious why this wasn't packaged in with the modernization program when it was ongoing at the very beginning of it. Why are we picking this up now after it's in service? So.
Thank you, Commissioner. My understanding is since this substation does not power any of the berth, being the crane power or the shore power or the longshoreman break rooms, it was not included in that initial scope.
Thank you.
Additional questions, Commissioner Marzano.
Yeah, just very quickly, when everything is done, we're looking at, correct me if I'm wrong, what I read is that we'll do this before the relay replacement project comes in?
The testing clean?
Yeah.
This is for the relay replacement project. So the testing clean will happen first to ensure that the existing equipment is still in the order that we understand it to be, and that we're not connecting to out-of-date equipment.
Okay, then when we're done with this, is there a life expectancy, which is?
Oh, I don't have the exact life expectancy here. I could look into that and get back to you. It will increase the life expectancy, but I don't know to what degree.
Okay, yeah, that would be great, but it'd be nice to know it. 10 years, 20, whatever.
Of course.
Thank you.
Are there any, Commissioner Meyer?
Yes, thank you. Are there other substations servicing T5 that we have to be concerned about?
I know there's at least one other substation, being the one I pointed to in that overhead, but that is a brand new substation that was just recently installed.
And that, I'm assuming, was part of the overall cost of T5.
The modernization project, yes.
But there aren't any other substations other than this one that you're aware of to be in the vicinity of T5.
There are, and I don't know the number, but there are secondary substations that are the responsibility of SSA. As far as, so we are responsible for the primary substations.
Yeah, I'm interested in what our responsibility
okay.
is.
Yeah.
So this is the, those two are the substations that we are responsible for.
Correct?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any additional questions or comments? Is there anyone that's attending virtually that has any questions or comments? I am not seeing any hands, so I would ask the clerk to call the roll, please.
Commissioner A.
Aye.
Commissioner Calkins. Commissioner Calkins.
Aye.
Commissioner Keller?
Aye.
Commissioner Marzano?
Aye.
Commissioner Meyer?
Aye.
Commissioner Mohammed?
Aye.
Co-Chair Hasagawa?
Aye.
Co-Chair McCarthy?
Aye. The motion is approved unanimously, 9-0. Those, I believe, are the only action items on the agenda. Now I'm going to call on Executive Director Wolf to introduce a cargo operations update.
Thank you, Co-Chair McCarthy. Tong, would you mind just coming up to answer any questions that they have? I'll give a brief update on the cargo operations.
Come up whether you mind or not, is what he's saying.
Love to have you come join the conversation. Thank you. So real quick, we've seen a strong push of cargo in the first quarter as a result of primarily importers, trying to get ahead of the tariffs. And then subsequent to that, with the tariff war between the U.S. and China, we have seen a dip, and we're in the middle of that dip in volume as we speak, essentially the month of May. And so we don't have our May figures out yet.
Not yet.
And we expect those numbers to be off by maybe 20 to 30%. Tong, is that?
Probably less than that.
Less than that, so, okay. Yeah. And I guess on a more encouraging note, as a result of the pause agreement between the U.S. and China that was announced a few weeks back, we did see the bookings increase out of China, and we expect that the volumes will pick up again as we move into the second half of June. We're seeing indications of that, and we're looking at the schedule for vessel calls, and that's picking up again as we look ahead into the second half of June. It's hard to know what July through the rest of the summer season brings, because there's great uncertainty still in the discussions between U.S. and China and other countries around tariffs. Yet we're hopeful that we have a very strong July through the balance of peak season. So we're prepared for that. Operationally, we have underutilized capacity at our terminals. We have underutilized capacity with the rail infrastructure. And so we are well prepared to handle that volume. And Tong, maybe you can speak to the marketing effort that
Sure.
we've gone out with around that effort.
Sure. So commissioners, we've included in your weekly updates one of the social media posting that we've been sending out. And I would encourage you, through your vast network, help us recirculate that message. That is, we stand ready to handle any surge that's coming our way. And to CEO Wolf's point that we anticipate the second half of June, things will start happening. We will start seeing volumes coming in through our gateway. We'll see that surge starting to happen. And part of the reason is that in serving of our customers, importers especially importers, some of them are resuming their production in China that were put on hold, and they're restarting that, and that takes a few weeks to get things going. So that's happening. There's also some importers have elected to remove their production out of China. They're staying on that course. So some of the importers continue to stay on that course, not going back to China because of that 9-day grace period. So it's a mixed reaction from our import customers, and we do anticipate to see some surge. And then, as CEO Wolf mentioned, that we anticipate a new service coming to our gateway starting July, calling TAT and T5. So there's some good news happening.
Thank you. I'm going to call for questions and comments. I think I saw Commissioner Hasagawa's hand up, but it might
not.
Yeah,
just wondering, Tom, could you clarify when you say it's a social media message? Do you mean it's on Facebook or are there other platforms that we should be amplifying?
Yeah, thank you, thank you. It's LinkedIn. That's a vehicle we use a lot and most frequent because most of our supply chain partners and customers are on that. So that's the platform we have been using. But thank you for that question.
Thank you.
Commissioner Marzano.
Yeah. Could you give a little update? Because we hear about all the imports, but the export market also, based on, you know, what China has, you know, imposed on their tariffs and things like that, how is that affecting us?
It depends on the specific commodity types, and some of our customers has looking for new
customers.
For instance, hay, one of our top export commodity. Some of our customers have moved away from China, moved to focus on new markets like in Dubai and some other on-export territory. And most of them are, from the ones I talked with, are staying on that course and not eager to go back to China because of that 90-day grace period, because of the uncertainty we set. Because that might be true today, it could stop tomorrow. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Are there any additional questions or comments, Commissioner Ray?
So I'm trying to get the pace for the year. We had a surge in the first quarter, and then April we slightly edged last year. May, we will experience a downward, I'm thinking, because of that was the height of the tariffs in which the ships are coming in. Fall, I've heard we're going to get a surge back. Mm-hmm. In the summer, what are you expecting in this particular summer in terms of our volumes?
Oh, boy, you mean an exact number?
Oh, no, I guess will it be similar to last year? Do you see a further drop off or just we're going to maintain and then surge back into the fall?
I think we will end the year seeing some growth. I don't know if it's double digit. It could be low double digit or at least single digit growth year over year. That's my
you know opinion. How I like to gauge the year and put in my bets on our TEUs.
You want to bet.
So I'm gauging different things right now and seeing how we are and how this market really will play out, even though it is volatile. I've heard, you know, different people, because we have access to different businesses, trade associations, retailers, to the larger shipping companies. And so when I hear like, well, it's not as high of growth as they had planned originally when they were looking at, you know, from the 2024 and they were looking into the 2025 because of what's happened and the policies that were enacted. But I hear there will still be a little bit of growth.
Yes.
And then for some, it's like the end of the world. And I was like, wait, let's just pause and breathe. Let's see what actually happens. So I'm just trying to gauge like where we're at and what we can do during this time.
Yeah. This reminded me, so as I mentioned, we had a really successful peak planning just a few weeks ago. And we did a survey of all of our customers that showed up at that meeting. And the survey result came back and showing that I think more than 60% of the ones we surveyed, the poll, is saying that they expect a growth more than 3%, conservatively 3%. Yeah. Some of them are higher, much higher than others. It's a bit surprising to me, to be honest. But that's the latest survey we did.
When I kind of survey different businesses, I hear very much struggling, but I've also heard from other people, well, it's not going to be as high as growth we planned, but like you said, still a bit of growth at the at the end of it.
Yeah.
So I'm still hoping that there will be still growth despite these really rough waters we have been facing.
Yeah, if I could also add that this week we will be, as part of CEO Wolf's report to you, we'll be sending you a paper on our staff's recommendation on a statewide comprehensive trade development strategy. And we would love to have your feedback, have your participation. So it will be included in this week's CEO update.
Tom, the other thing you may mention is your good work on the break bulk piece that is forthcoming. The business plan.
Yes, yes. And we're also, I know many of you have asked for this, and we're putting the final touch to some good work by our own team that really taking a hard look at Terminal 46 and assess the viability of using that terminal to attract and handle break bulk and project cargo. So that will be made available to you shortly. We're just finishing that piece of work this week.
Commissioner Muhammad, did I see you raise your hand?
She was clapping.
Oh, okay. You're raising two hands.
For the last point.
All right. Are there any additional questions or comments? Seeing no further hands. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda, I think, is Harbor Maintenance Act.
Yeah, so thank you, Co-Chair McCarthy. We had some unfortunate news this year with the core work plan, where we fully expected the donor equity provision to be included in that work plan. We were given feedback from a meeting that we held in D.C. with many of the donor equity ports and the leadership of the Corps that donor provision and those monies would be part of the work plan. At the end of the day, we were told that a decision was made at the highest levels of administration that was eliminated from the work plan, and that was hugely disappointing. Not only is it disappointing, from our perspective, it's not equitable. The importers that use our gateway contribute greatly to the Harbor Maintenance Tax Fund, as well as other donor ports. And so our team is working really hard to make sure that in the next year work plan that money is set aside as part of an agreement that was made years ago through WPPA and the Ports Association. So given that news, we took a look at our projects that qualify for use of harbor maintenance tax in both harbors, and David has done some really good work working with Thais and our team, and is here to report out on our recommendations based upon the fact that we don't have that $50+ million this year for the program, and know that we are still sitting on most of the money that we received from last year that will be committed to those projects. So with that, I'll turn it over to David.
For the audience, I'm David Morrison. I'm the Chief Financial Officer for the Northwest Seaport Alliance. Thank you, CEO Wolf, for that summary. The question I was brought here to discuss was, with the loss of the FY 2025 Harbor Maintenance Tax funds, we're still receiving the Water Resource Development Act funds of about $3 million per harbor, so a total of $6 million, but we are short on the Harbor Maintenance Tax, which was about $22 million in Seattle and about $25 million in Tacoma in fiscal year 2024, and we'd expected similar amounts. So, as you know, the Harbor Maintenance Tax helps us fund projects we're going to complete regardless. Right, we just don't, we got money, we're going to go do something. These are projects we're going to do. We're just lucky to get happy to have the federal funds to help us afford those projects. So given the question, should we change our priority? Right now, the funds from 2024 in the North Harbor in Seattle are dedicated to the Terminal 18 pile cap repairs, which is about a $60 million project. And in the South Harbor, we've taken the harbor maintenance tax and used some of it for the dredging that was recently completed in the Blair, but it's really focused on the T5 rehabilitation. And when we look at the schedule for construction, based on on what we're planning to do, we will not run out of harbor maintenance tax and have to use our own money until maybe late next year. So if funds are reappropriated and the harbor maintenance tax is distributed in fiscal year 2026, we'll be able to use up our existing 2024 harbor maintenance tax without having to take funds out of our other resources to fund those projects.
David, I want to correct something. I think you misstated in Tacoma, it's Terminal 7.
What did I say?
T5.
T7. Thank you.
We knew it.
You would have had 5 cents.
T7. I apologize. T5, T7, T6.5, and T7. Thank you. And that's a $50 million project. Maybe that's why. It's a $50 million project at T7.
There you go.
Thank you. Any questions on our recommendation to not, I would not change anything with our current funding strategy given the timing of the projects and the availability of funds.
I think if I could just comment and ask a question, you know, this is a big hit for us. I mean, we can't deny this is a big hit, and it makes us need to focus on what's essential on some things as opposed to what's maybe important but not necessary. And so I'm concerned that we're going to go down the road on some of these projects where if it turns out that this lack of federal funds continues, that we're going to get stuck. We'll have invested a lot in some things that were don't meet the essential criteria. So that it's more a comment than a question, but because I know you're always cognizant of that. But so when you mentioned that 2026, we could reach that fork in the road where we have to make some hard decisions and lack sufficient funds. So I guess my question is, are we looking at all projects along the way as to whether once we start them, we're able to pause them or stop a project if the funds don't become?
I don't think there are any of the projects you would want to pause. Again, as I stated, we're doing important infrastructure rehabilitation right. at Terminal 18, which is provides the largest amount of revenue for the Alliance.
Yeah.
And in the South Harbor, the managing members chose to reinvest in T7 and have that opportunity with that T7, got it right, that terminal. And the other alternatives that are behind T7 in terms of spending, but still things we plan to do, would be deepening of the berth and the installation of tow walls at the Husky Terminal and Washington United Terminal. So these are all projects we're going to want to complete. The question that we will probably come back to you with the next time at the next commission meeting is, historically we've separated harbor maintenance tax eligible projects and used HMT funds for that and pursued grants on non-HMT eligible projects. If we have concerns, and we do obviously, that the source for harbor maintenance tax may not be reliable, the policy question is, should we start pursuing grants on harbor maintenance tax eligible projects? Mm-hmm. And there's pros and cons. We'll come back and talk to you about that.
And of course, the whole likelihood of grants is somewhat at risk under the current administration, I believe.
There is uncertainty in both sources of federal funding. You are correct.
Okay. Thank you. Any additional? Commissioner Ryan.
Well, considering the landscape, I might reconsider with regards to Terminal 7 on the sources of the funding. We are at the Port of Tacoma, we are a strategic military port. There's expansion in the Pacific. And if the federal government, and this is a national security, they should contribute to the buildup of Terminal 7 and not rely on specifically these harbor maintenance tax. I think that is the responsibility then of the federal government if they are to deprive us of these particular funds. And I would actually say then we go for more of the Husky development, which is more about cargo, international containers, which is our main point of business, is the commerce. So I would ask that we, if we are to go through this Terminal 7, is to be more assertive, although we are very collaborative, I'm gonna say. So to collaborate with our federal government and US military, that they contribute to the buildup of that terminal, since it is part of the strategic military port and their also national security agenda.
I was thinking about that same idea, and at our retreat it was suggested that we pull a coalition together to consider visiting DC, and so we're already having that discussion, and I think that would be a really important topic when we go to DC.
Additional questions, or Commissioner Meyer?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, David, for updating us on the status of projects that might be eligible for HMT. But John, the question I have is that, you know, it's one thing to lose the money It's another thing to say in our competitive world that we're living in. I thought at one time they were talking about assessing the harbor maintenance tax for any cargo moving through, whether it's Canada or Mexico. Is that still a viable play? Mm-hmm. That to me is a very significant competitive, it's significant in the sense that the competition is driven through, for us, Canada, not so much Mexico. And so I'd like to know, you know, there's two parts to this,
yeah.
One of which is the money,
yeah.
And the other part is the policy.
Yeah.
So where do we stand on the policy question?
Yeah, thanks for that question, Commissioner Meyer. Congressman Newhouse has introduced a bill to address that issue, and our government affairs team, along with our labor partners and even our terminal partners, are behind that effort. It was going to be considered through, as I understand it, Ways and Means Committee, yet we were late in introducing the bill, and so our team is coming around that effort with the Congressman Newhouse and getting other support from Congress to introduce it in the Senate, and was on a discussion with our government affairs team this week about that issue and that it's a priority. So we're hopeful that would become a new law before the end of this year, and that's our goal.
It, from my standpoint, connecting the dots is that's a source of revenue,
yes.
that should be coming back to, you know, up for us. So
yeah.
If you're looking for where's the source and where's the use,
yeah.
We've got it right here in Puget Sound. So thank you, John.
Yeah.
Commissioner Ryan?
I had the opportunity to go to D.C. twice last month in May, one with Tacoma Pierce County Chamber, Washington Council for International Trade, and got to speak with Representative Newhouse twice. It's House Resolution 3363. I'll just double, 3363. And that would put HMT parity. Any cargo, U.S.-bound cargo, regardless of where it goes to, will get a 0.125%, Canada or Mexico. There has even been talk from some of adding an additional tax if it comes from Canada or Mexico, anything else than the U.S. Mm-hmm. But parity is what Representative Newhouse was looking for, and there was support also from Cantwell, who always thought that was a great idea, Senator Cantwell. So it seems like that our congressional delegation would definitely be supportive of something like that, to have at least the parity and not have that as a disadvantage anymore that we've had for decades, and hence us even trying to beg for our own money to do our own projects. But that would go a long way and to for our competitiveness and fairness, I would say, to West Coast sports specifically, because it goes this way.
Any additional questions or comments? I'm not seeing any, so thank you, David. Are there any announcements from our CEO?
I just have one. We have AGTC coming to Tacoma again in a couple of weeks. That will be the week of the 16th of June. I know that's on all of your calendars, and if you can make it to even a portion of that meeting during the week, it is a fabulous event right here in Tacoma. It highlights our gateway. We'll have many of our ocean carrier customers there, as well as many exporters and other key stakeholders here in Tacoma. We will be having the opportunity to highlight the gateway with a tour of our facility. And also have individual meetings as well as the conference agenda. So again, if you can set aside some time to attend even a portion of that meeting, AGTC, the week of the 16th, we welcome your involvement. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner comments? Commissioner Keller.
Thank you, Co-Chair. Just wanted to let everyone know that last week on Thursday, Commissioner Cho and I did a tour of Terminal 5 with Congresswoman Del Bene, and also participated in a roundtable along with our labor partners, Local 19, Local 52, an importer and an exporter. And we had discussions around the same sorts of things that we were just talking about with HMT. We talked about tariffs. We talked about the effect that it has on labor, particularly, you know, the shrinking and expanding of our supply chain, how difficult it is that we also don't have a level playing field, as we talked about, with goods being exported to, imported to Canada, and then down through the United States. What we also talked about with Representative Del Benny was the concept of potentially lobbying the federal administration to see that if there are any imported goods coming from Asia, that they come to U.S. ports, and which would benefit us. And you also heard a little bit about the other part of that strategy is the taxation piece of that, but that does affect our American consumers also in a regressive taxation fashion. So she's very supportive. She's very supportive of our gateway. She's doing a lot, I think, working with what you heard with some of our commissioners, working with Representative Newhouse as well on some of this legislation to be able to support our gateway both in Seattle and Tacoma. So it was a great trip, and it was great to be part of that discussion.
Commissioner Marzano.
Yeah, thank you. I want to thank you for the cargo report and the update. My concern is that by the time we leave this meeting, the administration may have made a change and we're back to whatever. And I think it's critically important that we also talk about, you know, the possible vessels that are made in China, that they may be taxed, the cranes that are maybe taxed. You know, we're living right now in a world where one doesn't know what's going to happen the next day. The administration doesn't know. They just do it on the whim of whatever someone feels, how he feels when he wakes up or something. And it's really disheartening to exporters and importers, for that matter, and the small businesses, whether or not they can even rely on what's going to happen and maybe be out of business before the week. It needs to be really emphasized, the fact that the tariffs are a tax on the consumers, pure and simple. And for the life of me, I'll never understand why this present administration think that's okay, because it's not. And it's devastating to the fact of not only the business community, but the labor force that relies on being able to go to work 5 days a week. And when you see a decline of 20% to 30%, that's a decline of 20% of the workers too. So I don't know if they'll ever realize how important it is. I don't know if the AAPA is doing anything. I read what they do a little bit. I think there needs to be a big power play more than that. But it's just disheartening when you wake up and read the paper or listen to the news when I wake up at 3 in the morning and he just did something at 3 in the morning. That's all. Sorry, I had to get that off my chest.
Commissioner Calkins.
Hi, making sure you guys can hear me.
Yes.
Thanks, Co-Chair McCarthy. Just wanted to share that I've just recently returned from Korea, where we were invited to speak at the Jeju Forum, which is a conference of folks working on international peace and security in Korea. And the topic was around port decarbonization because of our strong relationship with the ports, as mentioned earlier in the meeting. I came back from that meeting feeling very inspired by the work that Korea is doing and thrilled to be their partner in this green corridor work, both on the roll-on, roll-off traffic and also the container cargo traffic. And I look forward to a really strong continuing relationship with the Republic of Korea. Thanks.
Thank you. Commissioner Hayne.
I did want to just echo Commissioner Marzano's concerns about the Section 301 China vessel fees, which we did discuss on the trips to D.C. on the Washington Council or National Trade, and its effect on disproportionately impact on West Coast ports, and how that would actually divert cargo to Canada, because that's $1 million, $2 million, $3 million per vessel stop, up to five. And that is a proposal, but we have been advocating, or at least telling our congressional delegation and others about what the impact would be. We also met with the Senate Finance Trade Committee staffers and others in U.S. Department of Agriculture. And I think sometimes people don't understand that a lot of retaliatory tariffs go on ag, and we are a top ag port. And it's very hard for our agricultural exports to compete this way when it's hard to find a container or it just costs more, specifically that they're low profit margin. I think at least what my assessment of what was going on in D.C. Both Democrat and Republican members of Congress are understanding this, that tariffs are having a negative effect. Spoke with the newest Congress member from Spokane, Representative Baumgartner, and he invited us for a round table or a town hall in his area to talk about tariffs and the impact to trade, talk about trade, period. And he did he did say, tariffs are taxes. So this is understood amongst the Secretary, Commerce, Trade, others. This is in the conversation and how it really would affect Americans. We also discussed about uncertainty. That uncertainty seems like a very soft word, but it actually just is chaos, that nobody can really invest in this environment. American businesses and manufacturers cannot invest more in our country if they cannot be certain of these particular policies. And so we were conveying this to DC. And also that Vietnam has become a rising star in our gateway. It's like our third largest trading partner now, third or fourth, depending if you're going by TUs or the value of the cargo. And to tariff them this way when they were already talking about lowering barriers even prior is really affecting our relationship with allies. And I did get to attend this Celebrate Trade in Oregon, which I was really amazed at. This is the second year that I've gone, and these are our customers in which there are Nike, businesses who do international trade. There are videos of them showing how they do their job and how they contribute to the economy. There are legislators, there are the consular corps, students. And I was like, how did they were able to do this? And I thought, well, you know, we're the largest gateway in the Pacific Northwest. We should have something of an event like this in which people understand the value of trade and international relationships, about what that really means for us. And I was looking forward when we do our international trade strategy and state strategy for this state, our government, and others to really value trade and our ports and ag and others to understand what this really contributes. And I thought, wow, what a great event. Maybe we can have something like that here so we can get the support from our local and, I mean, I should say state government, because our local really gives us a lot of support. So that's just my report from DC, is that they do understand, but seems like there needs to be that more of the action part.
Okay, thank you. I do want to comment. Last week we had our retreat, Northwest Seaport Alliance retreat, where we met and got together for several hours in a public session, open to the public, and Commissioner Hasegawa and I, as co-chairs, insisted that we try a couple of things different. And we brought in a couple of customers or people that do business with the port. And I thought those conversations were very enlightening. Also allowed a more informal ability to communicate with staff. And the other thing that we tried a little different was to take the temperature of the commission on policy issues, if you will. So we had some exercises which gave us the opportunity to discuss potential policy issues that may come before the port at further public meetings. So I thought that session worked really well, and thanks for the effort of staff for executing on what we kind of insisted that we try anyway. So thank you. Any additional questions or comments? Seeing no any on virtual, I'm not seeing any hands. It is now 11:45 a.m., and we will stand in adjournment.
Thank you.
That's a record.
That's a wow.
Yeah.
Thank you.